So we started watching it, and the second he is on his bike, turns his head and projectile vomits. So I was like, no, this is great. I'm in. I don't, there's something just so pure and beautiful about a great projectile vomit gag. When it comes out of nowhere, because it just comes out of nowhere in this film, and it's within the first 5 minutes, let's say. It's beautiful.
Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Danjo Film Show. It is our Halloween special. Thank you, Joe. But thank you for joining us, Henry. Thank you for listening. Hope you're well. Hope you're staying safe, whether you're in lockdown or whether you're free to roam like a bird. We hope you're well. As always, I'm joined by my Frankenstein who just won't stay dead. It's Mr. Joe Richards.
That is savage. That is so savage. When you said you were thinking of like a Halloween themed introduction for me, I thought you were going to come up with something nice. I didn't realize you were going to come up with something like Frankenstein's monster who just won't stay dead. That's really mean.
That's upset me.
I'm off. I'm going. Enjoy your show, Dan.
What could I say? The trick and the treat? I don't know, but...
Anything would have been better than that, okay, I think, to be honest. You know, great. And I'm wearing a fetching kind of pumpkin type jumper.
Although you can't
really see in the light.
I could have mentioned maybe my pumpkin spice latte, something like that, maybe.
I would literally
like to sip you all day. I don't know.
Anything would have been better, literally anything other than Frankenstein's monster. But thank you so much, Dan, for that introduction. Very excited for the Halloween special. It's our first Halloween special on the show. We used to do like Halloween specials on our other show and stuff like that, so it's going to be cool to do it on this one. But how are you? Are you excited for it? Are you buzzed? Are you pumped for Halloween?
I am. Well, you know, on Halloween, obviously I'm at a certain age now where I don't go trick-or-treating. It's kind of like illegal for me to go because, you know, I'm kind of reached that age now where it'd be a bit awkward if I went to people's houses and was like, give me some sweets, you know? All kind of the costumes don't fit me anymore. So I mean, I'm not losing out because I just love kind of chilling at home, watching my favorite horror movies, which we can talk about a bit later. I love Halloween. I think people take it very seriously, don't they? I think people kind of look for the worst in Halloween. For me, it's a bit of fun. It's kind of fun antics everyone can get involved with. For young kids as well, it can be really lighthearted. It doesn't have to be like evil or anything like that. But yeah, I love Halloween. And what about you, Joe? Do you love it as much as me?
I do enjoy Halloween. I can't say I dress up every year. I'm quite boring like that, really. Over like my university period was like probably like my biggest kind of the glory years in terms of me dressing up for Halloween. That's as far as it went. But these days I kind of like you know, I kind of would rather kind of sit in and watch like a horror marathon or something like that, as opposed to go out. Certainly can't go out trick or treating. Although last year I did get to take my niece and nephews out for trick-or-treating, which is fun. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Halloween. I like all things spooky. My girlfriend Hannah, she is very much into Halloween. But yeah, I'm excited for this year. Even though we can't do much, I'm still excited to kind of batten down the hatches and as I said, watch a couple of maybe horror films I haven't seen before. And I'm excited for the show too.
Absolutely. And we've got a spooktacular Halloween special for you today. We also have an interview with Andrew Jones. He's a Welsh filmmaker and he'll be talking about all about his new movie, The Haunting of Margam Castle. But more importantly, we've got a very special guest on today's show. She's the chief film critic for The Independent and she also covers for Mark Kermode on Kermode Mayo on BBC Radio 5 Live. Please welcome to the show, Clarice Lowry. Welcome.
Hey.
Thank you. I so thought you were going to call me spooktacular and I got really excited. I'll be honest, I am spectacular. But thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I thought you were going to go down that road as well, Dan. And I was thinking that is a much better introduction than you gave me.
But I'm not doing well today. I'm not doing well. She is spectacular. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Clarice. Firstly, how are you? How has this year been for you through lockdown and everything? Obviously, you watch films on a regular basis. So obviously, from that point, maybe not so different. But how's lockdown been for you?
Very weird. I mean, yeah, because I obviously sort of have the same cycle of watching movies and reviewing them, but suddenly not going to a cinema, which used to be such a huge part of my life. And you know, I've been a few times during times when it was a little bit safer. Now I've sort of stopped going again because the news has not been good. but yeah, it's been really surreal because, you know, that's just like my entire life is that cycle. And now that I'm not doing it anymore and I'm literally just staying in my house, watching a movie, then turning around in the same room to write about the movie, like there's no movement in between those two actions, is straight, probably not healthy. for me. But hey.
Yeah, definitely. And you're totally right. Like Joe and I spoke about all year, basically, the fact that we met in the cinema, you know, our friendship bonded at the cinema. Have you managed to go at all in the last couple of months?
In the last couple of months, yeah, I've been a handful of times. I think my problem as well is, I mean, this is kind of a look into my whole industry, is I live in Brighton. And obviously, if you want to be a film critic, everything is in London. Yeah. And so the big thing for me is it's having to go on the train, the terrifying train where no one wears a mask and just coughs in your face all the time. So yeah, I've been a few times, but it's been limited, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. That sounds like quite the survival adventure, just getting to the cinema, try not to catch anything on the bus. Sounds like a film in itself, Clarice, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it's full, like, Train to Busan, like, move through the carriages, be like, who in this carriage is not going to cover my face? Okay, let me sit here, see how this works out.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Well, again, thank you for joining us for our Halloween special. We're going to talk all about our favourite Halloween movies and kind of our Halloween traditions and kind of why we love Halloween so much. But firstly, on to the topic of horror films. What would you say, Clarice, is some of your favourite horror films that you kind of go back and repeatedly watch? For me, The Blair Witch Project is something I watched when I was like 11 on Sunday afternoon in the daytime. Sorry. And it's just something that stayed with me. But what kind of horror films for you have you repeatedly gone back to?
I would say The Shining is probably my favourite, the closest to my heart, because I think I watched it at the right age. And it was that sort of realization of like, oh, cool, like horror films can be scary and also really artistic and meaningful, which now, you know, that's not an interesting revelation. But when I was a teenager, that was mind blowing. So yeah, I love The Shining. And then I love a lot of I really don't know what to call this phenomenon, but there's a lot of filmmakers from like Spanish speaking countries that make horror films that I love. So all of the Guillermo del Toro, The Orphanage, The Others, like those are some of my absolute favorites. And House, the 1977 Japanese horror film. I mean, is it a horror film? It is a horror film. It's got it's like a comedy horror film. There's a decapitated heads dancing around and skeletons and like a demon cat. It's wild.
Wow.
If you haven't seen it, like you will be forever changed by the experience of watching House. I will tell you this now.
Wow.
Well, that's
cats.
A good recommendation right there for Halloween Day. If you haven't seen it.
Absolutely. Joe, what about you? What you know, apart from beheading and demon cats, what kind of horror films do you go towards?
The Orphanage was mentioned then by Clarice, and I think that is absolutely tremendous. I sort of steer clear away from slashers. I'm not a big fan of slashers. Like, they're fine. I'll watch them if they're on, but I kind of, my favorite horror films are about ghosts and things like that, you know, the kind of more supernatural side of things. I'm a big fan of obviously Stephen King's writing, so I do kind of tend for the more supernatural things. So The Orphanage is a great one, and that is definitely one of my favorite films of recent years. I'm a sucker for the Conjuring movies, like Conjuring 1, Conjuring 2, maybe not so much some of the spin-offs like Annabelle 8 or whatever we're on with now at the moment with that. But yeah, I'm a big fan of those first two Conjuring films because even though they are kind of blockbuster kind of horror movies, you know, they're the big but big budget scary films. I just love James Wan's direction in there, and especially the first one. I remember seeing the first Conjuring film, and some of the scares in that film are just so brilliantly executed, like the scene where she's on the steps and a pair of hands come next to her face and clap like that. I remember seeing that in a packed out theater, and like those films are best to see with, like, you know, the biggest audience possible. So I love those films. I'll always kind of revisit them. The It movies, maybe not so much Chapter 2, but the most recent It remake, I'm a big fan of. Those are the ones, the kind of big budget Conjuring movies and like The Orphanage and things like that, with a bit more heart to it. The Innocence is probably my favorite of all time. But what about you, Dan? You mentioned the Blair Witch Project, and that was great. I remember watching that for the first time when I was younger, and that absolutely terrified me. I watched it at my nan's house when I was like too young to watch it. She didn't know I was watching it. And she lived next to a wooded area as well. And it just traumatized me forever. So, well, other than the Blair Witch, what else do you like revisiting over Halloween?
I think I love the Blair Witch because of the fear of the unknown and the fact that it's so minimalist. And it's so realistic as well. Like, I know that when it came out, people were debating whether it was actually real or not. But yeah, for me, like, I'm the opposite. I love slashers. I don't like supernaturals that much. I don't like possession films or exorcism films. I'm just not into that. But I love a good slasher, like Friday the 13th, give me that. Halloween, give me those any day. And I remember, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know whether you can remember your first memory of going to watch a horror film in the cinema. For me, I was 13 years old, and this was a 15 certificate film. This is back in the day when they didn't really care what happened, you know? And I went with my dad, and we went to watch The Unborn. Have you seen that film? It's terrible.
No.
And it's where basically she's got like a twin, and the twin dies, and then twin tries to kill her and all that kind of stuff. So my dad was like, right, we're going to go watch this film, okay? Mainly because my dad wanted to go watch it. He didn't really care about me. And he was like, right, put on your brown leather jacket, okay?
Oh, this brown leather jacket.
Brown leather jacket, and you'll get in no problem. So I put this brown leather jacket on, and I walked up like this. Like that. And bear in mind, I was 13, so I hadn't hit puberty. I was like, one ticket for the unborn, please. And my dad just said to them, he was like, oh, two tickets, please, for the unborn. And yeah, we got in and we watched it, and I was scared of my brain. Gary Oldman's in it as well. And yeah, it was like proper got me into horror film, that movie. So so that was my earliest experience. Clarice, what about you? Can you remember kind of the earliest memory you have of going to watch a horror film in the cinema?
I have to honestly say no, because my whole sort of upbringing with horror movies was I used to have a Halloween sleepover every year. I was very serious about it. And my parents would record a bunch of horror movies off the TV and then just hand me the VHS tapes, and I would often not know what was on the tape. And we would just play it and see what it was. And that's how I saw Army of Darkness.
Wow.
And no context of, I didn't know what Evil Dead was. Evil Dead 2. Just this movie just started, and maybe that was the most baffling like movie watching experience of my life, because I were like, who's this guy? Why has he got a chainsaw for an arm? What is happening? So yeah, that was kind of the only way I ingested horror movies for a very long time. And I can't actually remember what would have been the first one I physically went to a cinema to see.
Wow. What did your friends think? They must have been petrified. They must be like, oh, we're never coming over your house again, Clarice. Well,
this is the thing. Nobody was scared because we were so confused.
Yeah.
We were all just screaming at the TV, being like, what is this? What? Who is this witch lady?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. Fair play there, you know, kind of, if you're going to be introduced to the Evil Dead universe, jumping straight into Army of Darkness is like, so, yeah. Such a
watch
good
Army of Darkness when you're around 13 and you've got no clue what's going on.
Wow, that's brilliant. I officially love your parents for doing that. I think yes, that's great.
Absolutely.
Lots of lovely Halloween stories there. And please get in touch with us for the show. Let us know what your earliest Halloween memories are. You can tweet us at DJ Film Show. We're also on Instagram at DJ Film Show. Or you can find us on Facebook, the Dan Joe Film Show on there. Should we do some reviews, everybody?
Yes, that's
brilliant. And the first one is not so much scary. This is on Netflix. This is Whovie Halloween. It's directed by Stephen Brill and it stars our good pal Adam Sandler. He's having quite the year, isn't he? I mean, who would have thought Uncut Gems at the start of the year? Now this, but hey ho. And he plays a character called Whovie. Now, Whovie is somebody who lives in this neighborhood. Everyone hates him. Like, everyone really hates him. They throw different objects at him as he kind of cycles by. But he's such a kind person. He really looks out for everybody. And basically, he lives in the town of Salem. Every year, they have the annual Halloween celebration. It's a huge, huge deal. And Whovie Dwar, he's just a figure of mockery. But this year, something has gone bump in the night, and it's up to Whovie to save Halloween. Here's a clip.
It's Halloween Eve. Danger is afoot. I'm going to make sure every citizen in this town is protected.
What is that, monitor?
Looks like you made that sash from one of your mother's scarves.
There's something off in this town.
We got an unsolved mystery here.
I say Marco, you say Polo. Marco! Weirdo!
Oh, Whovie, don't go out there.
Salem needs me.
Not sure what's happening in this creepy town. The police department is advising everyone to stay home and lock their doors.
Ah, what are we screaming at?
You know what I think done it? A werewolf.
Think you've been watching too many scary movies, Louise.
That was a clip there from Whovie Halloween. I was quite apprehensive to watch this because I like Adam Sandler, but I don't like him all the time. I think his Netflix content hasn't been the best. I think it's very hit and miss. But I do give him a chance, and I thought Uncut Gems was absolutely terrific. I thought he was back on form and just so exhilarating, that film to watch. So I was a bit worried about this, but I've got to say, I quite enjoyed this. I thought it was all in good fun. I thought the character he plays, you do sympathize with him. I mean, the town of Salem are so horrible to him, like, for no reason. I was getting really angry. I was going to start a petition, actually. I was going to go online and be like, come on, guys, leave him alone. But what I really, really enjoyed about this was that it's so lighthearted. It doesn't take itself seriously. And also the cast are brilliant. You've got Kevin James. When there's an Adam Sandler, there's a Kelvin James. You've got Julie Bowen, who plays Violet Valentine, the love interest. I thought she was really sweet. Steve Buscemi, Ray Liotta, Rob Snyder, May Rudolph. And of course, June Squibb, who plays his mother. And she was really cute. I love June Squibb. I just thought the film was kind of nowhere near as bad as it could be. I was watching it and I was like, where are the, you know, really kind of awkward jokes? Where are the really terrible one-liners or the gags? Or where are kind of all the fart and poop jokes? They don't seem to be here. And there are obviously a lot of silliness here and there. I thought the pacing of the story could have been better. It takes a long time for them to actually get into the main storyline and what it's about. But honestly, compared to his other films, he's done far, far, far worse than this. I think for kind of a Halloween treat, I think it's fun for all the family. Going with very, very low expectations, and I think you'll be quite surprised with it. So I enjoyed it. Clarice, what did you think of it?
Well, this is the interesting about Whovie Halloween. I don't know if you guys noticed, like, critics were not allowed to see the film in advance of its dropping on Netflix, which is usually just a sign of like, okay, it's a real stinker. they don't want people to see it until they have to. So yeah, I was like, oh my god, do you remember when Adam Sandler said after Uncut Gems came out, if I don't win the Oscar for this, I am gonna on purpose make the worst film of all time?
Yes.
So I was like, this is it. Whovie Halloween's gonna be like, this is his revenge upon humanity. And then, yeah, so we started watching it, and the second he is on his bike, turns his head and projectile vomits. I was like, No, this is great. I'm in. I'm in. I don't. There's something just so pure and beautiful about a great projectile vomit gag when it comes out of nowhere, because it just comes out of nowhere in this film, and it's within the first 5 minutes, let's say. It's beautiful. So I was all in on Hubie Halloween from that point onwards.
I think it's interesting you say that was the moment that you were all in. I think my moment came a bit later on, where you see June Squibb and she's wearing a t-shirt which says Boner Donor. I was like, if you're going to put June Squibb in these sort of t-shirts, like, I'm in. Like, this is so silly, and it knows it's silly. And I think that's why I really liked it. Obviously, like you, Dan, I'm the same. I don't like much of Adam Sandler's kind of content on Netflix. You know, The Wrong Missy, which he produced earlier this year, I just thought it was dreadful. It just irritated me. And it was sort of offensive as well, some of the stuff in it. And this, it is inoffensive. I don't think there's anything within it which people are going to kind of go, ooh, that kind of offended me. And there is an innocence to the Hubie character. And it has got that message, of kind of being kind and sort of rising above the bullies. And even though that is handled in that very kind of an Adam Sandler way, with the kind of finale, it was nice that they had that kind of message in it as well. It's just cartoonish, like Clarice was saying, you know, the projectile vomit scene and the fact that he's riding a bike and people are throwing all these kind of items at him. You know, it is very cartoonish. It's very over the top. I think if you're not a fan of Sandler, maybe this isn't going to kind of win you over completely. You know, I put my rating on Instagram. I gave it 3 stars. I thought, you know, it surprised me. I gave it 3 stars. And my girlfriend's auntie kind of messaged me telling me off, saying she put it on and she did not like it at all. And I was like, well, it's not for everybody, you know. And as Clarice rightly said, I did say it is like revenge from Adam Sandler as well, I think, a little bit. But I thought it was better than I could have ever thought it was going to be. And yeah, I thought it was good fun.
The terrace is for guests only.
Monsieur, the young lady will be joining me. What did you do?
I'm a lady's companion.
Maxim de Winter. His wife died last year and is in dire need of company.
I'm Monsieur de Winter.
What are you doing?
Now you'll see.
This week, I'd like to never forget it.
Come to Manderley. I'm asking you to marry me, you little fool. Mrs. De Winter, may I present Mrs. Danvers?
Welcome to Manderley.
Never seen a house like this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd been a lady's maid.
This is all very new to me.
Oh, I'm sure you won't disappoint him, madam, if that's your concern. We did a lot of entertaining when the late Mrs. De Winter was alive.
You can talk to me about her. I have no secrets from you.
All marriages have their secrets.
Has Max ever talked to you about the accident?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How am I supposed to know anything if you don't tell me?
She's still here. Can you feel her?
I'm tossing and turning all night.
Andrew. She was the love of his life. I wonder what she's thinking about you. Taking her husband, using her name. He doesn't love you.
I said I want the truth.
You didn't know her. Nobody did.
You can't go on living in that big old house.
I don't believe in ghosts.
Moving on to more Netflix content now, and this is Rebecca. This is the remake of the Hitchcockian classic from 1940. Joe, what is the story behind Rebecca?
So Rebecca stars Armie Hammer. Don't get jealous, Stan. I know you get jealous about my...
He's your boy. I know that. Him and John Hamm.
Yeah. Armie Hammer and John Hamm. Just put them in... Have they been in a film together?
Not yet. I don't think so.
They need to be in a film together. It stars Armie Hammer, who plays Maxim De Winter, and Lily James, who plays Mrs. De Winter. And it's essentially, as you said, it's a remake of the Hitchcockian classic. We meet Lily James at the beginning of the film. She's basically working for a very, very mean Anne Dowd, who is great at playing these types of characters. She's in The Handmaid's Tale.
Aunt Lydia. Oh, boy.
Yes, exactly. And she's great. So she's great. She plays Mrs. Van Hopper. And we meet Lily James at the beginning. She's working for her. And whilst they're at this hotel in Monte Carlo, she basically bumps into Armie Hammer's Maxim De Winter. They form a relationship. Things move very, very fast. And he basically proposes to her. They form a romantic relationship. He proposes to her. He invites her back to his home estate. And when she arrives back, she finds that the kind of ghost, the kind of presence of his former wife, who died in mysterious circumstances, the titular Rebecca, kind of hangs over the house. And this is kind of reinforced by Kirsten Scott Thomas's Mrs. Danvers. I saw Rebecca on Sunday night, and I'd seen all the reviews prior to that, and I could see a lot of people were being not too kind to it, to be honest, which I was a little bit disappointed about. I'm a big fan of Ben Wheatley, and I watched it, and I can kind of see why some people maybe haven't taken it to it as much. I think Ben Wheatley is a very distinctive filmmaker. He's a very original filmmaker, and with Rebecca, it does feel like, a very kind of studio heavy production. It feels like his kind of claws have been clipped, and it does feel like he's going to be neutered a little bit. It doesn't have that same edge as you would maybe normally expect from a Ben Wheatley picture. That said, I watched it and I thought it was very handsome, and I'm not just talking about Armie Hammer, but it was a very handsome production, and I loved the look of the film. I loved the feel of the film. I loved the soundtrack. I loved the score. Is it gothic enough? No, it's not. Is it a patch on Alfred Hitchcock's original? No. But that said, I watched it with my better half. She's never seen Rebecca before, and she watched it and she thought it was really decent. She was engaged, she was invested. And I think if you're going into it with no prior knowledge of the novel or the original film, I think you'll come out the other end and think that was enjoyable kind of Sunday night fare. But it wasn't anything special, but it did the job for me, and I thought it passed the time quite nicely. But what did you think, Clarice?
So I am a really big fan of the Daphne du Maurier novel, and this is such a bad adaptation of it. I think that is the thing. You're right. If you haven't read Rebecca, haven't seen any adaptation of Rebecca before, maybe this would be fine. But I feel like anyone who has a knowledge of like how the story should go and what the atmosphere should be and what the mood should be, like, this is like mildly horrifying. Because yeah. Du Maurier's novel is a gothic novel, and this is the most ungothic thing. I don't know if you guys watched the Secret Garden movie that came out like the same week. Yeah. Somehow more gothic than Rebecca, even though the Secret Garden is not a gothic novel. Yeah, and I can see that they were trying to do a sort of feminist reinterpretation in the novel. The sort of nameless narrator, which Lily James's character, she is quite passive, but that is very much on purpose, because the whole point of her character is that she's so desperate for for Maxim to love her that when XYZ spoiler, like, she doesn't care, because she's like, as long as you love me, baby, I don't mind. And in this version, they try and make her a bit of like a detective. Like, she's trying to figure out the big mystery of who is Rebecca, who's the first wife, what happened, what's going on. And it's just like weird. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I found it like mildly offensive to the book and everything that the book achieves and its legacy, which I think it is quite a feminist book. And it's kind of insulting to be like, no, we think we could do better. No. <Yeah. laughs> Honestly, I'm just kind of baffled by it because it's so not the kind of thing that Ben Wheatley would normally do. I think it's just one of those movies where something just went weird. And that's why this movie exists.
And it's strange, isn't it? Because it was like literally announced, I think, a couple of days later that Ben Wheatley was going to be doing the Meg 2. He's going to be directing that. And again, wow. That's like another big budget kind of studio film. And he's kind of getting a lot of flack because people are like, what is he doing at the minute? He's like, you know, he's done Rebecca, which is like a big kind of film. And as he said, you know, you can't really see his fingerprints on it at all. And now he's kind of moving over to the Meg 2. So is he just maybe going through, some people have a theory that he wants the big paychecks now, I guess.
I don't think there's anything wrong. That's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with him, you know, doing a studio movie. I'm definitely not a purist about that. I think it's more the choice of adapting Rebecca, which is such a specific kind of gothic story. And it has all these things around it, which I think have never been present in any of Ben Wheatley's work. Big Shark movie, I could imagine him doing. Right? Like, he's pretty good with like action and sort of more genre stuff. That makes sense to me that he would do the Big Shark movie. It does not make sense to me that he did Rebecca.
Oh, well, I really liked it, but there we are.
But you've not seen the original, right?
No, and so I totally respect Clarice's point, and I she is right on this, definitely, because she has a lot more knowledge around the book and about the original. And I'm a big believer with Hitchcock. You know, we studied him at university. He's an auteur. His film should not be remade, in my opinion. And I felt the same way about the remake of Psycho and how it was like a shot-for-shot replica, and I thought it was just horrendous. And I still believe it now. But what I will say, Joe, you mentioned it's a handsome movie. It's a gorgeous looking film. It's just the cinematography, the scenery, the locations. I sat there and I watched it in my house and I just thought, wow, like putting this in the cinema would have just been astonishing. And I never say that often, and I do genuinely believe that. I think obviously it's got a good budget, and not just that, I thought the cast were excellent. I thought Arnie Hammer was just really, really kind of excelled here. He's been very hit and miss for me, but I thought he did a really good job. Lily James, I think, plays quite a vulnerable character. I agree with what Clarice is saying, that obviously, you know, the way she portrayed the role wouldn't be how it would be portrayed before. I just found the whole thing lavish. I found it elegant. I found it very classy at times, but you're right. I think it is missing that gothic nature to it. It's missing that grittiness, that tension building. But I think what you do have instead is a really kind of interesting mystery thriller. And I was very engaged all the way through. I thought the pacing of it was great. The editing, not great. I think there are a lot of flashbacks, a lot of like cutaway scenes that didn't work at all. A lot of back and forth to the boathouse, then back again. And I found that a bit nauseating. But, you know, for a 2-hour film, I thought it, like Joe said, it just did the job. And I really liked it a lot. And I know fans of the book and fans of the original are going to hate me for saying that. But I felt the way I feel, you know, and that's it. But yeah, I really liked it. Sorry, Clarice.
No, I get that. Maybe if it was not called Rebecca, I would have liked it. But yeah. I think the fact that it's like, why would you adapt this and then like not adapt it?
Yeah,
that to me is what is so strange.
Yeah, maybe they should change the name to Clarice. Maybe that would have done.
No,
better.
I don't want my name on it.
No.
But like, Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy. Amy from Bolton. Amy from Bolton. That's a good title. That's really good. Yeah.
That's a different film, but there we go.
There we are. So Rebecca is available on Netflix now.
We're parapsychologists. We're investigating claims of paranormal sightings in the building.
There have been plenty of those down the years.
Stay away from the castle. They've laid dormant for many years, but now they are awakening. They're waiting for you. They've always been waiting.
Brent, is that you?
We're now joined by filmmaker Andrew Jones, here to discuss his brand new film, The Haunting of Markham Castle. Andrew, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Brilliant. Well, it's lovely to have you on it. I always say it's lovely to have a Welshie on the show. I love the Welsh accent very much. So how's lockdown been for you, Andrew? Obviously, are you in Wales right now? Because obviously we're in lockdown right now. But how's this year been for you in general?
A bit of a dumpster fire, I think. it was basically, we were very busy and prolific in previous years. In 2018, we made like 7 films. And this year we made none, so it's quite a difference. Obviously, that's because everything just shut down. No one wanted to go out and make films. Obviously, obviously we're now planning for next year a bit more. But yeah, we haven't done anything this year, so it hasn't been great.
Well, yeah, I think obviously coronavirus has affected kind of the industry so massively. But what is good is that you have got, even though you haven't made any films, you have got films being released. And like I said, looking forward to talking about your new release as well. But obviously Halloween's coming up and we are on the Halloween special. Have you got any plans for Halloween this year?
Just going to, have something in the house with my wife. I think we're just going to, carve a few pumpkins, watch a few films. That's about it, really. We don't go out trick-or-treating or anything. So we got a projector, so we'll put a big projector screen up and watch some horror films.
And have you got any planned, or are they like a go-to horror film every Halloween where you're like, we need to watch this, or are you just going to wing it on the day and see what kind of takes you fancy?
No, we always like to watch The Fog.
Nice.
John Carpenter's film, because my wife isn't that into horror films, but she loves that movie. So we went one year to see it in the cinema as well, which was great.
Nice. Yeah. I'm very jealous of that projector for sure. But you're here today to talk to us about The Haunting of Markham Castle, your new release. So can you tell us a little bit about that and where the idea came from?
Basically, one of my producing partners, Rob Graham, he went to a ghost hunt there because they do a lot of ghost hunts at Markham. And, he found it quite fascinating that they were talking about a lot of the real ghosts. So we talked about, potentially doing a film there because they've shot a lot of films there and TV. We're always just using the location, done a film specifically on Markham and the backstory of all the ghosts and things like that. So we just sort of put that together, and a lot of the true story elements are just the backstory of like the gamekeeper and the Victorian mother and things like that. Those are the kind of stories that they tell on the ghost hunts. So we thought it would be interesting to do, a film that was specifically about the location and the ghosts. And luckily enough, they let us have 4 nights there. So after it was shut to the public, I think they were filming Discovery of Witches at the same time we were there. So it was quite interesting because we're very low budget, and it made our production look massive because there were all these trucks there, and so people turn up and think, oh look, you've gone big time, but no, it was the TV show.
And a huge congratulations are in order because the film's been shortlisted in this year's Paranormal Entertainment Awards, so obviously you must be thrilled. What was your reaction when you found that out?
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm not really a award type guy, we make kind of schlocky B movies a lot of the time, and you don't expect to get any recognition for them. So it was nice, it was a complete surprise. No one told me, and just sort of got tagged in it. So it was, nice.
I just want to talk a little bit about the actors of the film as well, because you're working with a cast of actors here who are no stranger to horror films themselves, including the great Caroline Munro. So what can you tell us about the casting process, and what was it like working with Caroline?
Yeah, it was great. It was basically, they're all represented by the same management agency, Bowington Management, and Thomas Bowington was instrumental in putting the cast together, basically, because initially what happened is we just approached Caroline for a part, and then obviously once we started talking about the project, Thomas, you know, had all his other great clients as well. So we basically ended up casting the majority of the film through them for, you know, some of the you know, older parts. And yeah, it was great for me because a lot of them have been in films that I grew up watching. You know, a lot of Hammer films, like, you know, Jane Mero was in Hands of the Ripper, which is one of my favourite Hammer films. It was just great that we managed to get them all in the film.
That's very flows very nicely into my next question about your horror influences. So you spoke about The Fog, you spoke about Hammer Horror there. Obviously, your filmography is a lot to do with the horror genre, whether it be paranormal, supernatural horror, or whether it be slashers as well. You've done a lot of slashers in your directing as well. What were some of your earlier inspirations? Was there a particular film that you watched when you were younger and it really inspired you to become a horror director?
It was basically when I was 5 years old, I convinced my parents to let me watch horror. And they said that would be okay as long as they could sit there with me and explain that it was all make-believe and, you know, make sure I wasn't too scared. So basically, the, you know, I used to love going to the, well, there were video stores then in them days with all the VHSs, and the two that I wanted to see were Friday the 13th and A Nightmare on Elm Street. So I watched those when I was 5 years old, back to back with my parents. You know, they would say, like, because they were crazy films to be watching at that age, but they were telling me about, like, how they did the effects, and they said, oh, read the credits, you can see who did what. So it was like, in their effort to not to have me believe it wasn't real, they kind of started my interest in how the films were made. Yeah, they kind of inadvertently kicked off a career for me there, I think.
Wow, that's
well done.
Yeah, that's wow. That's a really nice story, that. And what is it about horror? What do you think the appeal of horror films are? Because there are some people who can look at horror films and just not get it at all. They can't understand why people would want to go and be scared for like an hour and a half. But what is it about the horror genre which appeals to you and appeals to so many people, do you think?
A lot of people say it's like the safe scare, isn't it? You know, where you can explore sort of fear, you know, when it not be real, and, you know, it's kind of cathartic. For me as well, though, it was also the adaptability of the genre. Like, in terms of a filmmaker, I think there's so many different places you can go with it. And as a viewer, I felt the same, is that you don't have to stick to a tone as such. You know, you've got hybrids of genres within, like, you've got a horror comedy or horror, you know, sort of drama or horror crime. It's like, it's very interchangeable and adaptable, and you can go to kind of, I don't know, different lengths than maybe some other genres. Like, rom-com has kind of particular, it's in a particular box, whereas I think horror is a bit more flexible, and, you know, the tone can change at a moment's notice and things like that. I just like the adaptability of the genre, and the fact it deals with something a bit darker as well is always appealing to me, because I always felt that, you know, happy clappy type of films aren't necessarily very truthful. You know, life is kind of up and down, and, you know, there's a lot of darkness around. So it was kind of just a bit more, felt like a more honest genre to me.
Before we let you go, I have one more question from me. Can you tell us a little bit about shooting at Margam? You said you had four nights there. Did you experience any spooky stuff while you were there at all? Or was it safe while you were there?
A few actors did have some brushes with what they thought were ghosts. But I had an interesting experience where, you know, my wife is a co-producer on the film as well, Sharon. And basically we had a picture done on the staircase, which is reportedly the most haunted area. And we didn't feel anything at the time, but someone took a picture of us on And then afterwards, we looked at the picture, and there was like a face in the wall behind us. Yeah, there was like a picture of a face on the wall, and when we zoomed in, it was like, yeah, that's kind of creepy.
Whoa, oh my gosh, that is spooky. That's really spooky.
That is
wow. Ghosts are real, everybody. Don't forget it. And finally, Andrew, last question. Obviously, you spoke this year about how, due to coronavirus, a lot of your productions have halted. Have you got any future projects in store? I know you're a very busy man. Anything to look forward to for 2021?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff in development, and I think we'll be back. I think just got to be patient, and I think we'll get back to making a few films next year, and hopefully the industry starts recovering as well on a wider scale. You know, that's what we hope for next year.
Absolutely, I'm sure it will. Andrew Jones, thank you very much for joining us. To Jochen Vauer, you're welcome back anytime, and stay safe and all the best with your future productions.
Yeah, thanks guys.
And that was our interview there with Andrew Jones, director of The Haunting of Margam Castle. To Jochen Vauer, Andrew, lovely to have another Welshie on the show. What a lovely guy, hey?
Yeah, very, very nice guy, and very interesting to talk to. And yeah, I saw the film earlier on today, actually. I watched it over my lunch break. And
So committed,
you know. But yeah, I watched it over my lunch break. It kind of immediately took my eye because obviously it's a horror film set within Wales. And where do you see that? You hardly ever see that, in this day and age. As Andrew said in the interview, you know, very standard stuff in terms of kind of plot. American parapsychologists, they are sent to Margam Castle in Wales, and they're like, do you know where Wales is? And he's like, yeah, I know where Wales is. And like, they go to Wales and they go to Margam Castle to do like, to do an investigation in the hopes that they find some proof and evidence and everything like that. And when they get there, obviously a lot of spooky stuff starts to happen. See, a lot of reviews have been very sniffy about it. And, you know, we've talked about it before. Like, we talked about it with Sacrilege at the beginning of the year, that with films like this, which are low budget, very independent films, there has got to be a leeway that you give because it doesn't have the same budget as like something like The Conjuring would have. So there's only so much that they can do. I think the biggest takeaway for me for the film, and I'm not just saying this because he's on the show, but it is the script. I think the script is really great. And I think had the budget been higher and had Andrew had more kind of tools to play with in creating some of the, you know, maybe stronger visuals, I think it would have been something really, really special. As it stands, I think it's a bit of fun. I know a lot of people have watched it and they've kind of gone, it's a bit of silly fun. Don't watch it expecting, you know, a masterpiece, but it is a bit of silly fun. And as I said, the writing is definitely there, and you can tell that he's a very talented writer. It's just a shame. I wish some of the visuals had been maybe a bit stronger, and maybe it'd been a bit more tense in some places. But otherwise, you know, it's available to watch at home. You can rent it. If you're looking for something different over Halloween and you're looking for something which is set within Wales, then I think you're going to get a lot of fun out of this. And as we said, you know, Andrew's got a big following. You know, he knows what he does. He knows how to do it well. And it's definitely worth checking out if you've got the spare hour and a half.
Definitely. And he has said in other interviews that obviously the obstacles of having a low budget and the limitations that come with that, and he recognizes it and he embraces it. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're completely fair on that. I think with a higher budget, this guy's going to go very, very far. So yeah. Again, thank you, Andrew Jones, for joining us. All the best.
A note about witches. They're real.
Witches aren't really women at all. They're demons in human shape.
In every big city, in every small town, they live amongst us. And here's the most important thing. Witches hate children.
Ladies, I have a plan.
Vondrok will transform a child into a mouse.
A
and you will exterminate those brats.
Rats. We would exterminate the rats.
Why are we mouses?
Mice.
Whatever.
Grandma, down here.
Is that you, boy?
Oh, Lord.
Come on. We gotta stop them.
We'll never let you get away with your filthy, evil plot.
Who's gonna stop me?
Yum!
Doesn't matter who you are or what you look like, so long as somebody loves you.
You wouldn't happen to be carrying around a mouse on your person, now would you?
A mouse?
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would I be carrying around a mouse?
Moving on to our last film, this is The Witches. This is the remake of the original from 1990. It's also based on the classic Roald Dahl book. A lot of remakes this week. And it was released last week in America. It's just dropped on PVOD. So you do have to pay for this. A little hefty price in there for you. And it stars Anne Hathaway, Stanley Tucci. Joe, do you want to talk to us about the story? I know a lot of people already know the story anyway, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's Roald Dahl, and I think a lot of people are familiar with the story of The Witches. I know I certainly am, because the original film was traumatized me and kind of ingrained into my psyche for the rest of my life. But The Witches, it follows a young boy and his grandmother, who basically come to a hotel, and whilst they're at the hotel, a group of witches, essentially, I mean, it's not much to really kind of elaborate on. A group of witches arrive at this hotel, and obviously in classic Roald Dahl, you know, kind of fashion, at the beginning of the film we told about witches and what they get up to and how evil they are. The young boy kind of unfortunately walks into the witches meeting, and he's turned into a mouse, and it's basically an adventure from there about him trying to be turned back from a mouse to a boy and obviously defeat the witches. The original film, the Nicholas Rogue film from 1990, have you seen it, Dan?
I have,
right, okay.
Many years ago.
Okay. It absolutely traumatized me. The prosthetics and the makeup and everything in that film is haunting when you're like a young child. And I am from that generation. I don't think I'm the only one from my generation who feels that way. I know a lot of people will say that film is just something about it. The, you know, the performance from Angelica Houston and everything, which is just so scary when you're growing up. And it just nailed the tone of Roald Dahl really, really well. Here, Robert Zemeckis directs, and Robert Zemeckis is a filmmaker who I have mixed feelings about. Obviously, he directed Back to the Future, which I know you love, Dan. So he'll always have a special place in my heart. He's directed some brilliant, brilliant films. But he's one of these filmmakers who's got this passion for special effects, but then somehow the special effects always look worse than like every other film with a load of special effects that were like released at the moment. You know, he's kind of done the whole motion capture thing with Polar Express and Beowulf and everything like that. And for me, Robert Zemeckis here, when I saw the credits and I saw that Guillermo del Toro, people like that talent, that caliber of talent are involved in it, Guillermo del Toro, I didn't feel that at all. It felt like a very glossy, very Hollywood, which it is, remake of The Witches with Anne Hathaway, who does find she is great in her role, but with a lot of special effects. And I felt like the special effects took away a lot of what made the original film so powerful and so traumatizing. So the kind of overabundance of special effects did really kind of let it down for me. I think Octavia Spencer is fantastic. I just wanted it to go Mar at some point, to be like, don't make me drink alone. Don't make me drink alone, to the witches, you know, when they got the potions. It's like, don't
mind your business.
I just wanted it to go full on Mar. But like she is fabulous, as she is in everything. I think the cast are great. The story is there. I don't think it's necessarily a fault of the story either. Needed more Stanley Tucci, but every film needs more Stanley Tucci. And the overabundance of kind of special effects, which felt like B-tech special effects, just sort of ruined it for me. But what did you think, Clarice?
So I did not see The Witches when I was a child, so I don't have any nostalgic attachment to it. So I didn't mind it. I think that's my judgment of it. I thought it was enjoyable. I am obsessed with everything that Anne Hathaway is doing in this movie, and her accent, which is sort of like a mixture of Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles, like a sort of like Hammer horror, like grand dame. Yes. And also reminded me of Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, she's sort of like every European accent in one. And I just have so much time for comedic actors who will land every single line. Like, every line is a punchline to her. And so I think I was so wrapped up in how much I loved what she was doing. I almost didn't mind all the glossy CGI stuff. I thought there was a little bit of Guillermo del Toro in it, which is maybe also what I liked. There's a moment where Anne Hathaway is chasing the children and she's trying to chase them through a vent, and her arms extend out and then all the joints start breaking, and it's like kind of quite sinister.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. If you're comparing it to the 90s version, it does look incredibly tame, but I think this one has its moments. Just it's not as extreme as the other one.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed this. I saw the 90s version, strangely, in year 8, on the last history lesson of the year. The teacher must have just given up on us and gone, right, stuck the VHS in. And I was just really confused, and I was just like, wow, but you're right, Joe, it's dark, it's creepy, it's very kind of not suitable for a certain age range. But I don't know, I think this kind of did borrow some of those elements, not as far as the original. And I think in terms of Anne Hathaway, she was camp-tacular in this. I thought she was excellent. And I think she's plays a very different interpretation of the role compared to Angelica Houston. But I thought she excelled in this. I thought she was brilliant. And I agree, Clarice. I love Anne Hathaway. She's such a versatile actress. I mean, we saw her earlier this year in Dark Waters, which I watched it again recently, really enjoyed it so much more. And I think she's a great dramatic actress, but then she can camp it up in films like this. And you're right, I think the scenes where kind of her bones are breaking, and there are moments here that I was genuinely really on edge. There's a scene where they're trying to retrieve the bottle and she with the sewing machine, and they try to pick it up and things like that. Like, it genuinely really, really interested me, and the movie flew by. And again, Octavia Spencer, she's just the heart and soul of this film. She's the warmth to it, which I really enjoyed. Stanley Tucci as well kind of has those one-liners, is really likable in this, and very kind of, very talented comedically. Yeah, I just kind of thought it's a different interpretation to the original. I think with Rebecca, we can make the case that, you know, it wasn't anywhere near the book or the original. That's fair enough. I think with this, I think it's going for something very different. I don't think it's trying to be as dark and edgy as the first film, but more kind of child-friendly, I guess, but still has those elements of darkness to it, I think. So, I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun with it. Saying that, PVOD, $15.99. I don't know about that. I think wait till it goes down in price, definitely. But who knows, you know, if you gather your family around, you could treat it like you were going to the cinema anyway.
Yeah, exactly,
Yeah, so there we are. And I cannot believe it. That's all we've got time for on today's show. It's gone so quick. But what a lovely Halloween special we've had. It's been spooktacular, like I said before. And a big thank you to our guest, Clarice Lowry. Clarice, before you go, this is your time now. We do this with every guest to promote yourself. So where can people find you online? Where can people find your reviews?
Everything's on Twitter. I'm so lazy.
No, it's brilliant.
I was just like, just go to Twitter because I post everything I do on there. I'm sad. My Twitter is @ClariceLou. So just start typing out my name and you'll get it.
Brilliant. And have a lovely, lovely Halloween, however you celebrate it, Clarice.
Thank you. In 1,000 different ways, I will celebrate Halloween.
Absolutely, absolutely. And make sure to not let your parents watch Army of Darkness again, okay? I don't want them coming in and being like...
it's fine. Yeah. I've seen Evil Dead now. I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it makes sense now.
Oh, love it. And a big thank you again to Joey, who's not the Frankenstein at all. He's much more beautiful than that.
Listen, we're going to have words, okay? When Clarice is gone... We'll have some words about that, all right?
Oh, no. He could take me behind the back and I don't think so. Yeah, thank you again, Joe. And thank you all for listening. Don't forget, you can catch all our old episodes on Mixcloud. We're on Anchor. We're on Apple Music as well. And we're also on Spotify. So give us a listen. And you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at DJ Film Show. And you can also find us on Facebook under the Danjo Film Show. Please let us know what you're up to this Halloween. What are your Halloween traditions? What are your favorite horror movies of all time? And what's your opinions on some of the films that we've spoken about today? Please get in touch. And we'll see you next time for more Danjo Film Show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.